The following is a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
I would invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We began this marvelous book last week, and we said that as we began this book of Proverbs, that it's really the greatest compilation of wisdom anywhere in the world. It is God's wisdom to us through Solomon. And it essentially gives us instructions for how to live wisely in a foolish world. I think I would not need to do much to convince you that we live in a very foolish world. And so as believers, we need to know how to navigate that world. And Proverbs is God's wisdom to us to enable us to do that. It essentially answers the question, how then should we live? How do we live as believers who want to love God and obey God and fear God? How do we live in such a way that will honor Him in the midst of the world that we're living in? And so this is the book of Proverbs. It is God's gift to us. It is a book that gives us a divine perspective on how to handle life's issues. And we just jumped into it last week by giving a biographical introduction of Solomon. He's the author. He's the compiler of this book. And so we wanted to give just a background to Solomon because he is really qualified in a couple areas to instruct us in wisdom. Number one, he's the writer of the book, the wisest man who ever lived except for Christ. And so therefore, positively, he is enabled to give us instruction and wisdom on how to live this life. But on the negative side, Solomon failed to live out the very wisdom that he wrote. He lived much of the later years of his life in disobedience to the Lord, not following his own wisdom. And so in that sense, we can learn a lot from Solomon in how not to do things. And so we looked at that last week, but this morning I want to jump into the opening verses of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. We're going to find out why this book is so critical. Why we need this book, why you need this book, why I need this book, why Maranatha Bible Church in 2020 needs this book. It's really phenomenal that this book was written nearly 3,000 years ago, and here we are in 2020 studying it, and I believe it is crucially relevant to our life. And I want you to understand why this book is written. And Solomon is very kind right off the bat, right from the beginning, to tell us the purpose of Proverbs. And so if you would please follow along in Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 7. Let me just read these opening verses. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to give to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Here is the purpose of the book of Proverbs. And Solomon is very intent right from the beginning of this book to tell us right up front exactly why we need this book and what its purpose is. And what I want to do for just a moment before we dive into the text is I want you to notice a couple things. Just notice a couple things with me in this introduction. The first thing I want you to notice is that this passage that I just read opens and closes with virtually the same phrase. Notice with me verse 2, he says, "to know wisdom and instruction." And then notice the end of verse 7, "fools despise wisdom and instruction." So I want you to notice that this little phrase, wisdom and instruction, both begins and ends this passage. This is known as an inclusio. It's a literary device where the passage actually begins and ends with the exact same phrase, and that forms a bracket, or it forms kind of a sandwich, or these bookends on the passage. And when you see something like that, it tells us something very important. In this case, it tells us what begins and ends and everything in between is crucial to our understanding of the purpose of this book. Essentially, Solomon wants us to know that we need wisdom and we need instruction and we need to hear from God exactly what he wants us to know and how to live this life. And we need to hear the warnings of what happens to those who fail to regard and listen to this kind of instruction. So this literary device at the beginning of the book is very critical for our understanding. Solomon wants us to know that we desperately need the wisdom in this book. You need it, I need it, our church needs it. And so that's one thing I want you to notice right off the bat. There's a second thing I want you to notice here in these opening verses of Proverbs 1, and it is the repetition of synonyms in these few verses. I want you to notice that in verses 2 through 6, there's actually 9 or 10 synonyms used to communicate wisdom. Let me just read the passage again, and I want you just to notice these. Notice verse 2, he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. Verse 5, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Do you hear all the synonyms for wisdom in there? Solomon essentially uses almost every Hebrew word for wisdom, every synonym for wisdom and instruction, and he throws them all together right here at the beginning of the book. He piles them on top of each other, and he stacks them up in order for us to feel the weight of their accumulative effect upon us. In other words, Solomon is just reinforcing the importance of wisdom by piling synonym after synonym on top of each other so that we understand right from the beginning how critical this book is for our comprehension of the wisdom that God wants us to have to live this life in a way that will honor him. I love this. He's, in a sense, piling these terms on top of each other to teach us and draw us in to the critical purpose of this book. Now, in starting this book, we need to understand its original intent. This obviously wasn't just written for us here in 2020. This book was written in its original context for an original audience. And so who was it written for? We need to understand that we think that Solomon compiled these Proverbs as a way to educate and train a cadre of leaders in Israel. You remember that David was the first king of Israel and Solomon the second, and so as they centralized the monarchy in Israel, they needed some way of training future leaders and giving them the skills that they would need to lead the country in governmental affairs and all the kind of necessary skills needed to lead a nation. And so this is the curriculum book for that education process. This was Solomon's textbook for training his son and training his son's friends and training young men in particular to lead the nation and be those who would be skilled not only in the skills necessary for leading that country, but primarily in their character and primarily in their conduct and primarily in their godliness. It was to train and educate future leaders, starting with Solomon's son, in not only the skills necessary for leading the nation, but in the character necessary to do that. So we could say that Proverbs is essentially a primer on right conduct. It's a booklet on how we who know and love the Lord are to conduct ourselves and how to have the essential attitudes necessary for a life that honors and glorifies him. But what's unique about this book is it wasn't just written for young men in Israel training 3,000 years ago to be leaders of the nation. It's timeless truth. It is truth that you and I need today. It's truth that is critical today for us to understand so that we can live the life that God has called us to live. And so it is truth that spans the ages. And it's why you need it, and it's why I need it, and it's why our church needs it. We need this practical wisdom from Solomon. So let me just summarize for you the purpose of this book. I'm going to give you two purposes of this book from these verses, and they're really contained for us in verse 2. So if you look with me at verse 2, it is the summary statement of the purpose of the book. If you just want to know what this book about is about, you could just look at verse 2. It is the underlining key summary statement of what the book of Proverbs is about. And the first phrase is going to be elaborated on in verses 3 and 4. And the second phrase is going to be elaborated on in verses 5 and 6. So notice with me verse 2. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. You have two phrases there, verse 2a and verse 2b, and those two separate phrases give us the two distinct purposes of the book of Proverbs. Now, the first part of verse 2, it's going to tell us how to develop skill in godly living, how to live the wise life, and how to be holy in our conduct. That's one purpose. And that's going to be further explained and elaborated on for us in verses 3 and 4. And then the second purpose is at the end of verse 2, that second phrase that says to discern the sayings of understanding. In other words, to be discerning people, to think rightly, to be able to judge between right and wrong, and to have the mental discipline necessary for our spiritual growth and development. And that's a critical purpose, and that's going to be further explained for us in verses 5 and 6. So that's the general framework here of these opening verses, and I want to give you then this morning two practical purposes of the book of Proverbs. As Solomon lays them out for us right in the beginning here, we want to know what those are, and I want you to be convinced of the importance of this book for your own spiritual growth and development. I want you to be convinced. I want to whet your appetite. I want you to see how critical and practical this book is for your own spiritual development and growth and maturity. And so two purposes. Here's why you and I need Proverbs. Let's look at these. First, number one, the very first reason is to give moral skillfulness. To give moral skillfulness. This is the first part of verse 2. Notice what Solomon says, to know wisdom and instruction. In other words, Solomon wants us to be wise. He wants us to be instructed so that ultimately we can live a morally skillful life. In other words, so that we can be godly people, so that we can pursue holiness, and we can be the kind of people who honor Christ and honor the Lord with our conduct. And so let's just think through this a little bit this morning. To give moral skillfulness, Solomon wants, first of all, us to know wisdom. This is the key theme of the book. This is the word that occurs over and over, like over 100 times in the book of Proverbs. It's the key word in this book. It's the first word in his purpose statement, to know wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Let me just say at the beginning, it's not theoretical knowledge. It's not an accumulation of facts. It's not a collection of data or an intelligence issue. That's not what we're talking about here. When we come to the biblical definition of wisdom, we are talking about the application of knowledge. We are talking about the ability to put into practice the things that we are to know. So it's not just knowledge, it's an application of that knowledge. It's the ability to practically outwork the very details and data that we have from God's Word in a way that makes us godly and holy. In other words, it's not theoretical, it's practical. It's skill in godly living. That's what wisdom is biblically. Wisdom, biblically, ultimately, is someone who does something well. And let me just give you some examples from the Old Testament where there were some people who are called wise because they did something well. There's one example back in Exodus chapter 31 of a man named Bezalel. You may remember him. Bezalel and Oholiab were two men that were charged with the task of constructing the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And Exodus 31 calls them wise. They have in them the spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and craftsmanship. In other words, they had the skill necessary to build the tabernacle and all of its furnishings. In that sense, they were wise, because they had a practical application of the knowledge that they had. Daniel was also called wise. He was an interpreter of dreams. He was an explainer of enigmas. He was able to solve difficult problems. And Daniel chapter 5, verse 11 says, "In him are illumination and insight and wisdom." In other words, Daniel was one who was able to apply the knowledge he had to solve the difficult problems of his day in Babylon as he assisted the kings of Babylon in leading their nation. He was wise in that sense. He had an expertise and a skill in certain areas that he applied and therefore was wise. So this is the biblical definition of wisdom. It's the practical application of the knowledge of something. Now, when we come to the book of Proverbs, it's the same kind of thing, except it's directed in a different area. Wisdom in Proverbs also is the application of knowledge, but it's the application of knowledge that leads to godliness. It leads to holiness. It leads to a life of character and integrity and a life that honors the Lord. So when we come to the book of Proverbs, wisdom, and we're going to see that word over and over again, is the art of godly living. It's not just knowing some things about God. It's not just having some biblical facts stored up in your mind. No, the wisdom that Solomon is going to address in this book is the kind of wisdom that ought to drive us to moral skillfulness, that ought to drive us to godliness, that ought to drive us to holiness, that ought to drive us to a life of integrity and character before the Lord. One writer says this way, "Wisdom is the ability to see life as God sees it." Wisdom is the ability to see life as God sees it and therefore to live in light of that. So we could say that wisdom in Proverbs is expertise in godly living. It's the ability to live wisely unto God. And the question I want to pose to you for just a moment is, do you have that skill? Think for just a moment about what you're good at. All of you who are listening are good at something. I've been around you and our church long enough to know that so many of you are so good at so many different things. Some of you are so good at cooking, and some of you are good at leading a business, and some of you are good at sports, and some of you are good at writing, and some of you are good at leadership. You're all good at something. You have certain skills that you've honed over the years, and you're effective at, and you're good at those things. Just think for a moment about what you're good at. And then I want to ask you, as good as that is, are you skilled in the art of godly living? Because as important as those skills are that you're using, that's wonderful and that's good, but what's more important is, are you skilled in the art of godliness? And are you skilled in the art of holiness? And is your life marked by a continual influx of the wisdom of God that finds its way out in your life that enables you to live in light of His perspective on this life? That's wisdom. And we need this wisdom, and here's why we need this wisdom. It's because none of us drift towards holiness. None of us gravitate towards godliness. It's just not in our human nature to naturally drift in the direction of being holy. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We tend to drift away from holiness. And we tend to gravitate toward ungodliness. We tend to gravitate towards compromise. We tend to drift towards spiritual apathy and spiritual laziness and not living kind of a trimmed back life. That's how what we drift towards. That's how we gravitate towards those things. And yet Solomon says you need to be men and women of wisdom. So if we don't naturally drift that way, then we need to have a constant influx of the truth of God and the wisdom of God into our minds, into our hearts, so that we can apply the truth in a way that will lead to and bring about the holiness and the godliness that will bring honor and glory to God. So, beloved, this is why we need this book. We need to know wisdom. We need to know God's truth. We need to have his truth flowing through and flooding our minds and our hearts on a daily basis so that we move towards spiritual maturity and godliness and holiness. So this is the first part of verse 2. It's to know wisdom. Notice the second word in verse 2. The first synonym, really, of wisdom is to know instruction. So we're to know wisdom, which is the practical outworking of the truth of God and his perspective on life, and we are to have instruction. We're to know instruction. This is the other term he uses in the first part of verse 2, and we could interpret or translate this word instruction as discipline. Remember, I just said that we don't drift towards holiness. We don't gravitate towards godliness. And because of that, Solomon is fully aware of that. And so what he does here is he uses a word in Hebrew, this word instruction, that implies that there's got to be some discipline in this. If we don't naturally gravitate to that, then there's got to be something that pushes us in that direction. And that's the second word here, instruction. It's a word that refers to training or discipline or chastisement or correction or chastening. It's got a corrective element to it, in other words. Solomon is saying you've got to put some sweat into this. There's a price that needs to be paid if you're going to gain this wisdom. It doesn't come naturally. It's a word that refers to the fact that wisdom is hard fought. It comes at a price. There's a price to be paid in garnering and receiving this kind of wisdom, kind of like the athlete who's going to put in the time and the study and the preparation and the physical rigors of training their body. That's the idea. And relevant to that, or part of that, is the idea that if we're not living up according to God's wisdom, then there's going to be the chastening hand of God in our life to correct us. So wisdom, on the one hand, positively and teaches us how to live the life that God has called us to live. And when we don't do that, there's this corrective element, kind of like what parents do for their children. This is what we do exactly with our kids. On the one hand, we positively train and instruct them. On the other hand, when they don't follow what we instruct them in, there's a discipline process. I remember well still the wooden spoon growing up, and I'm sure I needed it all of those times. There's an element of discipline in this. There's an element of correction. There's an element of training. There's an element of bringing about some consequences to show us when we've gone off the path of wisdom. And that's exactly what Solomon is saying this book will do. This book is going to get in our kitchen. This book is going to confront us. It's going to step on our toes at times. It's going to offend us in our natural tendencies at times, because in our flesh, we tend to go off away from this wisdom. And Solomon is going to include in the book of Proverbs instructions for showing us when we've gone off the path of God's wisdom and confronting us and how to get back to that. So in other words, discipline is part of instruction. And discipline is part of the Christian life. It's part of living God's wisdom. And Proverbs is going to do this. It's going to require that we listen and pay attention. And it's going to show us how to stay on the path of wisdom. And it's going to confront us when we get off the path of wisdom. So right from the beginning, we learn that wisdom and instruction are necessary for us to live the godly life. Now, Solomon does something in the book of Proverbs. Let me just give you a little preview of where he's going to go with this and how he's going to show us the winsomeness of wisdom. Solomon uses a kind of a unique method of attracting us and showing us the importance of wisdom. He does it a number of times, especially in the opening 9 chapters. He personifies wisdom to make it attractive to us. Notice you can see it here in chapter 1. If you're in Proverbs chapter 1, skip down to verse 20. And notice how Solomon ascribes traits of humanhood or personhood to wisdom. Notice verse 20 of chapter 1. He says, "Wisdom shouts in the street." He personifies her as a woman. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her saying. And notice what wisdom says in verse 22. "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. You see what he's doing? He is personifying wisdom as a woman. Interesting. He does the same thing in chapter 8. You could skip over there to chapter 8 for just a moment. Look at chapter 8, verse 1, Proverbs 8, verse 1. Notice what it says here. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights, beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Verse 3, besides the gates, at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. You can see here's wisdom given traits of personhood, particularly a woman, crying out, calling for someone to listen to her. Look over in chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. You can see the same thing. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever's naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come and eat of my food and drink of the wine that I have mixed. You see what Solomon's doing? You can go back to Proverbs 1, but do you see what Solomon is doing? He is using an anthropomorphism. He is assigning human characteristics to an inanimate object, namely wisdom, and he's doing that to show us how attractive it is. Just like a man would be attracted to a beautiful woman, just like a man is to honor and love and cherish his wife who's a woman, so too the idea is that we who love God and love his word and love Christ are going to be those who are attracted to his wisdom. We're going to be attracted to the truth that he has. We're going to honor it. We're going to love it. We're going to cherish it. And this is exactly what Solomon is doing in the book of Proverbs to communicate to us how glorious, how beneficial, how wonderful, and how productive wisdom is. So this is what he's communicating to us in the first part of the purpose statement. Verse 2, to know wisdom and to know instruction. That's the purpose statement. Now remember what I said. In verses 3 and 4, he's going to communicate this, or he's going to elaborate on this. He's going to expand on this. So we're going to come back to the end of verse 2 in just a moment, but I want you to skip down to verses 3 and 4, because here Solomon gives us a further explanation of the importance of receiving God's wisdom and the discipline that comes with that and the importance of that in our life. Notice verse 3, he says to receive instruction. It's the same word as instruction at the end of verse 2, this word for discipline. He says in verse 3, we need to receive discipline or receive instruction. And notice in four areas, we need discipline or instruction in wise behavior so that we live wisely. And we need instruction on righteousness, how we do what we need to do so that it's right according to God. And then the third one is we need to have instruction in justice so that we make right and wise decisions. And then lastly, we need to be those who receive instruction in equity so we do what's right and we do what's fair. Beloved, you need instruction in all those areas of your life, as I do. We need instruction in wise behavior, and we need instruction in righteousness, and we need instruction in justice, and we need instruction in equity. Those are all areas in our life where we need constant input from God's word so that we make wise decisions in all those areas. You say, who needs this? Specifically, who needs this kind of wisdom? Look at verse 4. Young people, listen up. To give prudence to the naive and to the youth, knowledge and discretion. Who needs this kind of wisdom? Who needs this kind of understanding and this kind of instruction? Well, Solomon answers that question in verse 4. The naive need this. It's the word peti in Hebrew. And it's a word that means a simple one. This is the uninstructed one. This is the untaught one. This is the undiscerning one. This is the young person who's immature in their convictions. They're easily influenced by things around them. They're, in a large way, ignorant of the truth of God's word. This is the kind of person who needs instruction. It's interesting, this word for naive actually means open, spacious, wide open. This is the idea of the person, typically the young person, maybe someone who's young in their faith in Christ, or maybe even just someone who's young chronologically and physically. They tend to be someone who's a little more open-minded. That their minds are open. They've got an open-mindedness to many things in the world. Their mind is, in a sense, an open door. This is Solomon's way of saying they lack some discretion. They're open to every influence. They're open-minded. And so often today we hear that as something commendable. We live in such an age of tolerance today that many people believe it is wise and good and noble to be open-minded. And Solomon here is saying that person is naive. The open-minded person is actually naive. So the next time you hear someone say they're open-minded, you might want to tell them to close their mind. Close it, because it's not good, because everything comes in. Solomon is saying, this book is for those who lack discretion, particularly the young person who lacks some understanding and is undiscerning in these areas. Proverbs is going to make that person wise. Now, if you're an older person, you're not in your early part of your life, don't tune me out, because in a minute you're going to hear that this book is as relevant to you as it is to the young person, but particularly for you young people listening. You teenagers, you children, those of you in your 20s, those of you that are still fairly young, Solomon says this book is for you. To give you what? Notice verse 4. To give you prudence. Verse 4, he says, to give prudence to the simple-minded person, to give prudence to the naive. In other words, to teach you to have sensibilities and a shrewdness about you so that your thinking is framed up by the Word of God, not just flippant and free and open and worldly, and you let anything in. That's not honoring to the Lord. No, it's to give you prudence. So it's addressed to you. Notice verse 4, he continues on, and he actually uses the next phrase in verse 4 as a parallel of the first phrase, and so it further describes the first phrase. Not only is it written to give prudence to the naive, this book is written to the youth and to give them knowledge and discretion. It's written to the youth. Again, going back to the original purpose of this book, to train and instruct and teach the future leaders of the nation of Israel, the young people who were being equipped to fulfill leadership positions in the nation of Israel, that's who it was being written for. But the same is true today, that young people today need knowledge and discretion. If you want to be a person who honors Christ, it's not going to be by a continual influx of worldly ideas and endless surfing on the internet and scrolling through social media. That will not make you wise, period. You need the knowledge and the discretion. You need the wisdom and instruction. You need the wisdom and the prudence in this book if you have any hope and any ability to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And so for just a moment, I want to appeal to you young people. To those of you children who are listening, and those of you who are navigating the teen years right now, and those of you in the college years, and those of you who are at the beginning stages of your married life, and those of you in that young person category, I want you to know that this book is particularly relevant to you. You have to be a person who masters the wisdom of Proverbs. In fact, I would exhort you and I would appeal to you to read this book every year, at least once. You could read it in a month, actually. There's 31 chapters. There's 31 days in a month. You could read a chapter a day. You could be a person who embraces this book if you willingly take the challenge. It's written for you. It's written to help you think biblically. It's written to help you have wisdom and understanding rather than being bombarded by the things of the world, which you are in your school and in your workplaces, and it's in the culture that we live in today. It's hard being a young person in today's culture because of everything the world is throwing at you. And the way you're going to combat that is by a steady diet of the book of Proverbs. It's a roadmap for your life. It's a roadmap. It's going to teach you how to live a godly life. Obviously, this starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the source of all wisdom. And when you embark upon that relationship with him by trusting him as your Lord and Savior, then you need to flood your mind with the practical wisdom that comes in the book of Proverbs. So, who needs this? All of us do. But particularly you young people, you need this book. Because it's going to teach us how to live godly lives in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. So that's reason number one. That's purpose number one for the book of Proverbs. It is written to give us moral skillfulness. It is written to instruct us in the ways of godliness. It is written so that we see life from God's perspective and we live in light of it rather than our own perspective or the perspective of the world. That's why we need Proverbs. That's why you need it. That's why I need it. That's why our church needs it today. We need to hear this message and this book and its contents, so that we are those who know wisdom and instruction. That's purpose number one. Purpose number two, the second reason Solomon has written this book is found at the end of verse 2 and in verses 5 and 6. So remember I said verse 2 is the summary statement. It gives two phrases. Phrase number 1 is explained in verses 3 and 4. Phrase number 2 is explained in verses 5 and 6. So here's the second reason why we need this book. Second purpose to this book is to grant us mental discernment. It's first, number one, to give us moral skillfulness. And secondly, it's written to give us or grant us mental discernment. Look at the end of verse 2. To discern the sayings of understanding. Notice the word discern there. You, if you're going to follow the message and the purpose of this book, is you've got to be a person who discerns the sayings of understanding. Literally, it says to discern the words of discernment. There's a play on words there. Solomon actually throws two words together that are basically the same words. To discern the words of discernment. Beloved, one of the great needs of the hour today is discernment. We live in a culture that does not prize discernment. We live in a society that hates discerning people. We live in a culture that is tolerant. We live in a country that prizes everyone believing their own things and holding to their own ideas and never questioning those. Our culture and our country does not prize discernment. It celebrates tolerance. And unfortunately, that mentality has crept into the church, where there are believers and there are churches who are undiscriminating, who are unable to filter out right from wrong, truth from error. We live in a society that calls error truth and truth error. And so many times that idea is filtering into the church so that Christians, in many cases, don't see issues clearly. They don't see issues biblically. They don't see life from God's perspective anymore because they've been so inundated and misled by the things and the thoughts and the philosophy and the mentality of our culture. I believe today one of the primary issues facing the church today is a lack of discernment, an inability to think clearly about the issues that are facing our lives as believers and our churches. Every wind of doctrine blows into the church. It comes in every few months and years. There's a new fad. There's a new thing that comes in. And we have largely, as a church, lost the ability to discern. So Solomon's book is so critical for us. Verse 2, the end of it says that this book is written to help us discern the sayings of understanding. One writer says, Proverbs will train people to discern lessons about life, such as distinguishing permanent values from immediate gratification. If you want to know what one of the problems with our world is, and the problem that's filtering into our church, is the belief in immediate gratification. This is what causes us to stumble. We want our pleasures now. We want to be entertained now. We want to be fed some thing that makes us feel good now. We live for the moment. This is our culture. And Solomon's going to say, listen, you need to be discerning about what's important. This book will help us do that. Skip down to verse 5. Because notice in verse 2, the end of verse 2, to discern the sayings of understanding. Now skip down to verse 5, because the word understanding, the word discernment, actually occurs both in verses 5 and 6. So verses 5 and 6 are going to elaborate on this expression in the end of verse 2. So notice verse 5, he says, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Here's why we need Proverbs. Because the wise person will hear it and will increase in their learning, and they will acquire wise counsel. Notice the active nature of these verbs. A wise man will hear it and will increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So remember I said that the book of Proverbs is written for the young person to help them be discerning and to close their minds so that they're able to think God's thoughts after him. But this book is also written for those who are already wise. So you older, mature, more godly people, you are not exempt from this book. If you are a veteran of wisdom, if you've been walking with the Lord for years or decades, if you've been a person who's known Christ for many, many years, this book is still relevant for you and for me, because notice verse 5 says, if you're already wise, then you're going to increase in wisdom, and you're going to make progress in godliness, and you're going to be a man of understanding who will acquire more wise counsel. And so that's why this book is relevant for all of us. I love this. Because it shows us that we never get to a point where we have it all figured out. We never reach the place where we have learned everything as believers. We never get to the point in our Christian life where we can say, you know what? I got that pegged. I got that pegged. I got that figured out. I know that fully. I've arrived. Ask any senior saint if they feel like they've arrived. They haven't. None of us have. So if you're a young person, you need this book because it's going to teach you how to be wise. And if you're an older person who's already a veteran of wisdom and been living and walking with the Lord for many decades, you need this book to make you more wise. In other words, wisdom is not just for the young and inexperienced. It's for all believers. We never stop our pursuit of wisdom. We never get to a point where we can coast in neutral. We are those who have to make progress in wisdom. This is a mark of spiritual maturity. You want to know how you know if you're spiritually mature? You're going to have a quest and a desire to continue to know God's wisdom in a way that you haven't known it before and make progress in that area. So this is why we need this book. We need to be those who make progress in discernment. Notice verse 6 helps us understand this as well. Verse 6 says, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now there's a bunch of words that Solomon uses here, proverb, figure, words of the wise, riddles, kind of lumping all that together. Those represent the perplexities of life. Those represent the hardships and the difficulties of life. In order to navigate those wisely and figure out the proverbs and the figures and the riddles of life, we need to be those who are sharp in our mental discernment, who are able to determined between right and wrong, truth and error, better and best. We could say it this way: mental maturity is essential to spiritual maturity. If you want to make progress in spiritual growth, if you want to make progress in spiritual maturity, you've got to have then the mental maturity that will fuel that. Discernment is what fuels your spiritual maturity. Show me someone who's discerning, and I will show you someone who's likely making progress in spiritual maturity. Show me someone who's undiscerning, and I will tell you, for the most part, that person will be a spiritually immature person. Discernment, the ability to think critically, God's thoughts after him, the ability to apply this truth to our lives, the desire and the hunger for the wisdom of God that makes us more capable of judging between truth and error, that's what's going to promote your godliness and promote your spiritual maturity. That's what Proverbs intends to do. If you think about it, life is really just a summary of the choices that you make. Really? Just think about that. That's all life really is. If you boil life down, your life is the result of the accumulative effect of the choices that you make throughout that life. So if you're going to have a life that is making progress in holiness and godliness, then there has to be, at each one of those choices, at each one of those decisions, there has to be discernment so that it leads you in the trajectory of godliness and the trajectory in holiness rather than the trajectory of ungodliness and unholiness. And so this is really what Proverbs intends to do. It's going to set before us two paths. The path of the foolish, and you can see it down in verse 7. What is the person like who despises this wisdom and despises this instruction? Solomon calls them fools. You are a fool. You are a biblical fool if you reject this book and you reject this counsel and this wisdom and this understanding. I'm not calling you that. Solomon, God is calling you that. You are a fool. That's one way that you can progress in your life, is on the pathway to foolishness by rejecting what this book has to say. Or you can make progress in godliness. You can have a life of wisdom that honors the Lord and sees life from his perspective. And this is the person who will embrace God's wisdom, will discipline themselves with it, who will allow themselves to be corrected by it, who will allow themselves to be instructed by this book so that it promotes in them wisdom and righteousness and holiness and godliness. Two paths. And Solomon's going to lay that path out, those paths out before us over the next few months as we jump into this book. Where does this pathway to wisdom begin? Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you want to know how to be a believer who embarks on a pathway to wisdom, you'll have to come back next week as we spend our time looking at just verse 7 and this concept of the fear of the Lord that leads us in the trajectory of wisdom. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for this introduction to this book. We need it. Lord, we confess that we need wisdom. We are those who are so inundated with worldly thought and worldly philosophies that, Father, we need our minds and hearts continually flooded with the practical truth of your word. And so, God, we pray that as we embark upon this study of Proverbs, that you will instruct us, that we will be willing students, that we will willingly sit in school as you instruct us and teach us. Lord, I pray for our church family, for those listening right now. Lord, I pray that the desire of their hearts will be to embark upon the path of wisdom as Solomon lays it out for us. God, I pray that there will be no biblical fools listening. if there are, Lord, if there are any this morning whose hearts are hard and they are despising your wisdom and despising your instruction and ultimately despising Christ, who is the embodiment of that wisdom, Lord, would you draw them to yourself? We thank you for what you're going to teach us, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.